Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. The Lasting Joy of Gospel Living. It's an article that was written by D. Todd Christofferson. Christofferson, when he writes this, is a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The subtitle to this article is Enduring Joy Comes by Enduring in the Gospel of Jesus Christ and Helping Others Do the Same. Now, we have to keep in mind, whenever a Latter-day Saint talks about the Gospel of Jesus Christ, it's always within the context of being the restored Gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily what has been understood from the New Testament by Christians for centuries. It is something that Latter-day Saints are led to believe, and of course, there's a lot of things in the restored gospel that are different than what we find in the New Testament gospel. We're on page 6, and if you want to follow the transcript of this, it's the February 2024 edition of the Liahona magazine, and it starts on page 4, and we are looking at page 6, where he says, "In our weaknesses, we fail for a time to keep the commandments. We can still turn around, reject the bitter, and once again pursue the good."
And he says, "The love of God does not excuse sin. That would be mercy robbing justice. But by his atonement, Jesus Christ offers redemption from sin." And then he goes on and cites out of Helaman chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. And it says, "Amulek said that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Therefore he hath sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer, unto the salvation of their souls."
Well, let's go back and examine that. The love of God does not excuse sin. That would be mercy robbing justice. Now, that's a phrase that a lot of LDS leaders have used when they talk about the subject of mercy itself. Now, we understand mercy to be undeserved. When we receive mercy from God, it's not because we've done anything in order to get his mercy. In fact, it's just quite the opposite. But as you see how Latter-day Saint leaders have explained mercy and used this phrase, how it cannot rob justice, you can easily see that mercy, according to LDS teaching, is something that you do have to earn. Take, for instance, this statement from Spencer W. Kimball, who was the 12th president of the church, and this is found in the book, The Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 150.
He said, "Mercy cannot rob justice. The Lord's program is unchangeable. His laws are immutable. They will not be modified. Your opinions or mine do not make any difference and do not alter the laws. Many of the world think that eventually the Lord will be merciful and give to them unearned blessings. Mercy cannot rob justice. College professors will not give you a doctorate degree for a few weeks of cursory work in the university, nor can the Lord be merciful at the expense of justice. In this program, which is infinitely greater, we will each receive what we merit. Do not take any chances whatever."
He says, "In this program, which is infinitely greater, we will each receive what we merit." Now, the way he describes it there, Eric, are you supposed to find comfort and joy in that expression? That would seem to be terrifying if I was a Latter-day Saint. And yet this article, I think, is supposed to guide Latter-day Saints into how they can have joy. But again, here's the problem. When you look at commandment keeping as part of your justification, that can be kind of scary. Now, if you look at commandment keeping as a part of your sanctification, Yes, I find joy in keeping God's commandments as a part of my sanctification, but if I knew I was to lose whatever I was hoping for because I was not as consistent as I should be in my sanctification, and let's be honest, none of us are. All of us are inconsistent in our sanctification. We're never going to achieve complete 100% sanctification during this lifetime. But yet the way that phrase, mercy cannot rob justice, it sounds as if Latter-day Saints must achieve that. And I would say in order to have this joy that Christofferson is talking about.
Well, what he misses is the entire meaning of the word mercy according to the Bible. Because when he says we will each receive what we merit, that's not what you want. You want to be able to not receive what you merit. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says in Romans 3:23. And so to miss that idea that mercy is not receiving the due punishment you do deserve, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But it goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when he says, do not take any chances, whatever, you're bringing out a good point. The title of Christofferson's message, The Lasting Joy of Gospel Living, this is not lasting joy of you having to earn your right before God.
Well, we not only have that statement from Spencer W. Kimball, but we also have a similar statement by James E. Faust. Now, James Faust was a member of the first presidency before he passed away. He gave a conference message titled, Dear Are the Sheep That Have Wandered. You can find this in the conference edition of the Ensign magazine, May 2003, page 62.
He said, mercy will not rob justice, and the sealing power of faithful parents will only claim wayward children upon the condition of their repentance and Christ's atonement. Repentant, wayward children will enjoy salvation and all the blessings that go with it, but exaltation is much more. It must be fully earned. The question as to who will be exalted must be left to the Lord in his mercy.
It must be left to the Lord in his mercy. Here's where the confusion lies. Must be left to the Lord in his mercy. I read that, and I read it from an evangelical perspective, and I go, okay, great, God's going to be merciful. But after hearing him say that mercy will not rob justice, that if you want to receive exaltation, it must be fully earned. You see, this is what I think a lot of people don't understand. When you ask Latter-day Saints, what is it that you want the most after you die? They will tell you, to be reunited with my family, to live as a family unit. It's not usually they want to live with Jesus and be in his presence forever. It's all about being with the family. And a lot of Latter-day Saints just naturally assume that if the mom and dad are doing everything they're supposed to do, we're all going to be one happy family. But if you have a son or a daughter that's not living up to the standard, you won't be a happy family in the hereafter because those kids won't be there. That is a part of exaltation. You do not get to be with your family if you are judged at the judgment unworthy of celestial exaltation. That means your eternal life in the church of the firstborn forever and ever. If you were only qualified to go to the terrestrial kingdom, or perhaps even the telestial kingdom, you are not with your family in those two levels. You only get that as a perk if you end up in the top level of the celestial kingdom. So that means if your kids don't live up to the standard, they're not going to be there. If your spouse is not living up to the standard, they won't be there. Here's the evil part of this whole doctrine. You could die thinking you're a faithful Latter-day Saint and everything is all ready to go in the next life. And let's say Mormonism is true and you find yourself in the hereafter at the judgment. And let's say you did qualify, just hypothetically. Let's just give it to them for this story. You qualify, but your wife didn't. Here during all your mortality, you were hoping to be with your wife, to be with your kids, and now you find out your wife didn't even qualify. Maybe she had some kind of secret sin, and that disqualified her from being with you throughout eternity. That's what you risk, you would think, as a Latter-day Saint, if Mormonism is true. But when you talk about this idea about Amulek saying that the Lord surely should not redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. Well, actually, that's said more than just in Helaman in chapter 5. You find that same kind of expression found in Alma chapter 11. In fact, I think that's exactly what Helaman is referring back to when he talks about Amulek and Zizram. And Amulek, of course, was a prophet who could not say anything contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. In chapter 11, verse 37, in Alma, in the Book of Mormon, it says, "And I say unto you again that he, speaking of God, cannot save them in their sins, for I cannot deny his word, and he has said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, how can you be saved except you inherit the kingdom of heaven? Therefore, you cannot be saved in your sins." My question is what human living right now is not in their sins? If all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and if the New Testament is correct in saying that if you say you have no sin, the truth is not in you, and you're a liar. So we are all in our sins. What I think it should say in there is that we are not going to be held responsible and pay the penalty for our sins. But it doesn't say that. And that's not how it's interpreted. Let me show you what it says on page 67 of a church manual. This is a correlated manual titled Gospel Fundamentals. It says on page 67, "Our Father in heaven does not sin, and he does not allow people who sin to live with him. To live with him, we must repent of our sins." Now remember, we have to take the LDS definition of repentance, which means you confess and forsake, never to repeat them again. It goes on, "To repent means to feel sorry for our sins and stop doing them." So if you're still sinning, you're still doing them. So that means feeling sorry for them is not enough. That means Heavenly Father, who does not sin, will not allow people like you who sin to live with him. It goes on, "When we believe in him and follow him, he changes our hearts so we do not even want to sin, but want only to do good." Can any human being really say that I never have a desire to do anything but good? If we do not want to suffer for our sins, we must believe in Jesus, okay? But then it says, "When we believe in Jesus and repent, the suffering of Jesus pays for our sins, and we become cleansed." In other words, after you do all these things, then you get the cleansing that you seek.
Well, Bill, to conclude today's show, I go back to Kimball's "Mercy cannot rob justice." That's the worst news of all. This cannot be the lasting joy of gospel living.
And I would tend to agree with you, Eric, because if those are the conditions, then inconsistent, sinful human beings could never live up to this. And I think that becomes the problem that we see in the lives of a lot of Latter-day Saints. As good as they are and trying to be as good as they can be, that's commendable. But can they live up to this standard? Here you have Christofferson trying to show his readers how they can find this joy, and yet he gives them a formula which is going to be a formula for failure.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.